Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's our show. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome aboard. We're 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. Hi, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you, Billy.
Nice to see you.
You as well.
I didn't even run this past you, but I was thinking, remember when Kathy and Judy did their show here on WGN for many, many years? They would do a segment on Thursdays called Sex Thursdays. Do you remember that?
Bertrand was a part of it.
I remember that.
I just about blocked that out.
I was tempted to send them a note to ask permission because I found a story that would be perfect for Sex Thursdays. And today is Thursday, and I would really like to do the story, but I almost feel like I can't do it without the permission of Kathy and or Judy.
I think I can.
Can you grant permission?
I'll grant you dispensation.
All right.
I'm not fully capable of it.
What if we do it once, Steve? Let's try it once, and if it works, then from time to time we can do it. Not
that
every
sounds
week.
Like a Sex Thursday topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Why didn't they do it on a Friday? Aren't more people getting ready to have sex on a Friday than a Thursday?
I think they were trying to change world behavior.
Yeah.
All right.
And
happy hour.
From all the research, it worked. All right. So later on, a return to Sex Thursdays, a temporary return to Sex Thursdays. That's coming up later on. I want to space it a little bit because we've got Orion Samuelson on, and I'd feel dirty doing it too close to Orion.
So, I would like him to participate.
You know what else I thought about?
I love how you ignore me. Yes.
What? Yesterday, during the crosstalk with Steve, I teased a story that we had to do on the show yesterday. And then when the show was over, I got in my car and I went, oh, we never did the story that I wanted. We were hoping to do.
What was it?
They're trying something out in Washington, D.C. It's a new program. And if it works, they're going to do it in other cities around America.
Got it.
And here's what it is. They're giving private citizens the right to ticket cars.
Wow.
Isn't that brave?
I don't know if brave is the word.
What is the... I can't figure out what the right word is. I'm not sure it's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not a great idea.
Tickets like parking tickets or moving violations?
Parking tickets.
Oh, come on.
So do the givers get any money out of this or just satisfaction of being...
They're trying to figure that out exactly. They've given... It's a pilot program in which they're training 80 residents in Washington, D.C., spread out throughout Washington, D.C., the right to ticket cars. If you see an infraction, if you're walking along and you see a car that is not... It doesn't have a handicap...
Placard,
yeah. And they're parked in a handicapped space. Or maybe you see a car and the meter has run out... Or maybe you see a car and it's parked between two parking spaces.
There you go.
You know, you see that every once in a while. There's a car that's
used. You can be ticketed for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't ever do that because the point of doing it is you don't want anybody to hit your car. But
right.
There are people that will squeeze into the spot
yes.
just to spite you.
Yes.
So it's terrible.
But you see it a lot, don't you?
I didn't
you?
Know you could get a ticket for
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe not in private parking lots, Bill, but on the, in city
on the street
parking,
you
yeah.
can. Yeah,
right.
In the street.
Okay,
definitely.
So you're saying that it would be limited to these 80 people?
For the time being, yes.
Do they get okay. their own chalk stick?
It doesn't say.
To mark the tires?
That's a great question, Wendy, and it doesn't say. They've left that out of the story. I don't know. Washington, D.C. is considering training a group of residents to give tickets for some parking violations. In Washington, D.C.'s quest for safer streets, one local lawmaker wants to allow some residents to issue tickets themselves when they see a parking violation. The Citizen Safety Enforcement Pilot Program would train 80 residents, 10 people in each of D.C.'s 8 wards, to identify and then report specific parking offenses by way of a mobile phone app. From there, the drivers would then get a notice with the ability to either pay or contest their tickets, much like the process that's used by photo-enforced red light cameras. The proposal comes from D.C. Councilmember Charles Allen, as part of a sweeping bill to improve the city's efforts toward Vision Zero, which is a commitment to eliminate traffic-related deaths and serious injuries.
Who dies in a parking situation?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a very strong question.
People will die in these parking situations.
Right. If you came to your car and somebody was issuing a
right.
ticket, it then becomes a very hazardous
Some
situation.
Barney Five citizens arrest. No way.
And part of the joy of paying for parking, I was shopping in Oak Park and I put money in the meter and
yeah.
put the ticket. It's in the parking lot. And I, for some reason, thought I had 3 hours. So I was out shopping and I came back and I'm like, oh, darn it. I only bought 1 hour.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a ticket. So it's like, yay, Oak Park.
Right.
I'm coming back.
Has Oak Park done what Evanston's done? It used to be when you parked in and around downtown Evanston, there was a meter for every parking space. But now, much like the city of Chicago,
it's a box.
There's a box somewhere on the block. You have to find it. And then you have to estimate the time. It's not like you put in a quarter for each 15 minutes
right.
like the old days. You have to put in your license plate number.
Yeah,
You don't even get like a receipt to put in your car.
Oh, I got a receipt to put on my dashboard.
Oh, you do?
You have to put in your license plate number,
yes.
Addison?
Yes.
That's why I was worried, because I violated by 2 hours, and I thought, well, they have my license plate. Are they just going to send me a ticket? So we'll see what happens. And I may not like Oak Park so much, but right now I'm happy with it.
But I liked the convenience of the old way, where your meter was right there. It was a very fast transaction. You go, I'm going to be about 25 minutes. I'll put in 30, I'll put in 50 cents. There's the shop. I'm in. I'm out. I'm gone. But now you have to find the box somewhere on the street. You have to put in all your information, you know, your credit card information. The duration of your stay, you're estimating
it. Sometimes you don't know.
So
that's weird. Well, first of all, I didn't like the meters because who has quarters?
Bill.
I do.
Of course.
I play a lot of pinball.
But
I never have them.
So what you're saying, Bill, is you don't buy like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You say, I'll be here until 1:48.
You're doing it, but more times than not, you're putting it on a credit card because they've upped the price. It's not 15. It's not 25 cents for 15 minutes anymore. So unless you do have a pocket full of quarters, your only chance there is to go by way of a Visa or a MasterCard. So a transaction that used to take 20 seconds, you know, to just put a quarter or two in a meter, now takes, you know, 5 minutes to find the box, to go, to put your information in.
I've found, though, that parking's more available in the city with that system.
It is now. There's no question.
I don't think it's that big of a hassle, because I honestly never had quarters, so then you'd have to go into a business and buy a pack of gum and say, hey, could I get $4 worth of quarters?
You'd always have that paper bag in the back seat to put over the meter as if it was broken.
Which I thought I heard doesn't matter. If you park at a broken meter,
you're still
meter,
responsible?
Yeah, so you park at your own risk. And I also, something that came across in April of this year, that chalking tires to issue parking tickets violates the Fourth Amendment. A federal court ruled that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you can't touch someone else's car?
I don't know the exact reason for it, but I know I heard this in the news. Parking enforcers who chalk tires violate the Constitution. So I'm curious.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To know if they're going to keep doing it.
I didn't know that.
And, you know, you can get by that because you just park back a little bit in the space, so then you can just move up in the space a couple hours later.
But you'd have to keep returning to your car and doing that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't park there all day.
Right. Your thoughts on this? We've already got a bunch of calls. We're at 312-981-7200. What are your thoughts on Washington, D.C.'s plan? Give private citizens the right to issue tickets. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We're at 312-981-7200. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Let me quickly catch you up. In Washington, D.C., a D.C. council member named Charles Allen wants to start a pilot program by which people just like you and me, just regular people, can issue parking violation tickets. Good idea or bad idea?
I don't enjoy it. I did mention I was in Oak Park and I only paid for an hour and luckily got by. And that's half the fun of life, is when you sneak by. You know, yay.
It's like finding extra French fries in your bag if you've got fast food and you go, I thought I was out of French fries.
When that happens to me, Wendy, I like write a check to the municipality.
You, do
you have, yes.
You
you're
do
doing
not.
The right thing, Steve.
Right. Thank you, Bill.
Carol, Oak Park talk. What's going on?
Well, you were lucky because their purpose now is on the like the street level parking and at what used to be meters and things like that. You can only park for the allotted amount of time, the maximum time, because they're using your license plate.
Oh.
If you want to park longer, you want to park in one of the parking garages.
So am I going to get a ticket mailed to me since they have my license number? Now I should have put a fake
number. That I doubt. I mean, if you don't have one by now, I'm sure you probably won't. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. But
What if you put a fake license plate number? 1234567.
Well, they're not going to be able to check because they pull out a list. and they go down the aisles and they check the license plate number.
Yeah, if you, by putting in a fake license plate number, you're getting yourself in trouble because your car won't match with the meter.
Yeah, they're not going to see the car, you know, so.
And now if they have people walking around checking it, then we're going to be in trouble. Yeah. What do you think about this, Carol? Just a private citizen, 80 people trained to walk around and help issue parking tickets.
I don't know about that. Somebody might hold a grudge against somebody, and they may just get parking tickets out the wazoo.
That's my fear. That's what's going to happen.
That's Bill Leff's car. I'm just going to keep ticketing him.
Right. Yep.
Am I allowed to say wazoo on the radio?
You can say wazoo.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
next
Thursday. Yeah. You can say it.
Yeah, it's kind of rotten. I mean, you know, it's but I think their whole thing is like, you know, the people that work here, I think they don't want them like plugging meters. They want them to pay like a monthly fee, which is not cheap.
Yep. Makes sense.
I see.
Carol, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you so much. I kind of feel the way I felt when they first started doing the tickets where a police officer didn't have to see you breaking the law, but a traffic cam could see you, and then they'd issue you a ticket. I kind of felt like if fair is fair, you got to physically catch me. You can't have cameras doing it, or you could put cameras everywhere.
I agree. And I got my second speeding ticket on Ogden with this camera, and I know where the camera is, so I don't go over the speed limit.
Yeah.
And I thought, you can contest it, but I'm like, they're not going to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then it doubled. So $200 later, I called and said, you know, I know better, and I tried to pay online, and it wouldn't let me, and it says fast and convenient, and it wasn't either of those.
Yeah.
You know, can I just pay the original? And they said, no, once it's been doubled.
That's it.
To me is not fair.
Will this be a deterrent for you to speed there or anywhere else?
I don't speed. And when I checked, you can check the video. Not at this particular spot, because I got caught before, and it's a $100 ticket on Ogden. So I know where it is.
Yeah.
It's 30 miles per hour. I always make sure, since that first ticket, I'm under 30.
Yeah.
I always do.
Yeah.
And so when I got this, I didn't know how to navigate my way. And then when you go online and look a little further, you can check the video. You can check the stills.
Oh, you can? Yeah.
And then I felt like saying, maybe there was a car in another direction that was going over it, because I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to believe me.
Did you have the option of going to your local court?
No, it's Chicago, so I would have had to come downtown. It just, at that point, you know, you're like, I'll just pay it. But pay it before it doubles, because, boy, did that piss me off.
Steve, am I imagining this, or didn't they prove that the traffic cams were actually causing more accidents because people knew they were being videotaped? The red lights.
Yeah, this was a speed camera.
Yeah, I think the red lights, I don't know exactly, Bill, but I think they, at the very least, they proved that they didn't reduce accidents.
Right.
And there were a lot of false positives.
Yes, right.
You know,
right.
There's a speed camera right behind us on Columbus here by NBC Tower.
Oh, is there? I didn't know that.
Is there?
Yeah, coming up. And it's like a strobe light at night because so many people speed by it because it shoots off a flash of light.
Yeah, as soon as it takes the picture.
Oh, interesting. Now, I'll tell you where I'm being sort of hypocritical, because I've said in the past, and I mean this, I wish they would issue me the right to give people who were texting and driving. I would love to give out those tickets.
Pitch that program to Eddie Johnson.
To Mayor Lightfoot.
You know, maybe he'll say, Bill Leff's going to be the, you know.
I want a team with the city to
maybe
help.
That'll be part of Mayor's address tonight when she.
I'm sure it'll come up.
To end the budget deficit.
I'm positive.
I mean, really, all we have to do is ticket everyone once.
Yes.
Who did it, and we'd be golden.
Well, they keep going out of the way of mentioning that they're really going to crack down on it.
They're not.
I drive every day. I don't see anyone getting pulled over, and I see people texting all day in every lane.
I see people holding the phone to their ear talking, and I feel like, you know, pulling them aside and flagging and go,
right.
Do you know what you're doing?
Right.
I mean, just not even hiding it.
Right.
Not talking into it, which is still illegal because it's in your hand.
Yes, it is.
It's just up to their ear.
I know.
Hello, you're in your car.
There was a lady, this is a week ago today actually, driving in the middle of two lanes, and as I pass her, I see her, she's focused so much on the text and not on the road at all, obviously. So shouldn't we have the right to do something about that? It's making all of our lives, we're all in danger because of that. Why don't we have the right to fix that?
I think you should be able to ram them.
All right.
Then you ruin your car.
That's an idea, Steve.
But this Washington State program or D.C., I can't remember.
Washington, D.C.
Okay. They want for people to be safe, but parking is not.
Right.
But the texting and driving
right.
is.
So let's focus on the real problem, which is that. That's where our lives are in danger every minute of every day on the road.
Can you imagine with everyone carrying a gun right now that if some citizen is
no
outside a bar or anywhere,
no.
you know, that just sounds like a bad
idea.
I don't
want to think about what that would turn into. And let's be honest, D.C. isn't the safest place in the world to live. It just isn't.
No.
Yeah, I don't like this idea. I don't think it works, and I don't even
no.
think they should try it.
No. I would hope that if they do try it, that cities like ours would learn from it and go,
So, Bill, to refine my idea.
Yes.
What you need is like a demolition derby car. And have a municipality buy 80 of those.
Right.
Give them to people. And then they could just go nick cars that are texting and driving.
I don't see any problem with that at all, Steve.
No.
I think that's a perfectly good option.
Cars wouldn't cost that much.
Right. Right. You just throw some bubble wrap on your fenders and right. move on. Steve, I think that's a genius idea.
I mean, think of how people would put their phones down when they saw one of those cars coming around.
We'd all be on our best behavior.
I would. I really would. Can I switch gears and just ask a question? And it's sort of rhetorical, but who out there loves lobster?
Well, that's everybody. Almost everybody. You know, Jasmine, our producer, I believe, has never had lobster, I believe.
Had lobster.
You've had it?
I've had it. I just don't like it.
But you didn't. I think you had it by accident. You had crab. I love
crab.
Crab meat. Crab meat's
how can
sweeter.
You have, how can you get accidental lobster? Because even that sounds good to me. I would have that.
Accident. More so tricked.
So someone put some lobster in with your crab,
right,
and you can tell
crab.
The difference. They're a different consistency.
Wendy, I'm checking my text line to see if Steve Cochran has texted us. I was in a band called Accidental Lobster. So far, he has not. He's running late.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
But so it has a completely different taste and consistency, and I don't know if there was a gun to my head and I had to choose which I liked more. I don't think I could.
There's room. You can make room for both.
You can.
Yeah.
But there's the Great American Lobster Fest that's going on, and it returns to Navy Pier. It's Labor Day weekend, which is forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be giving away one pair of lobster meal experiences. Mm. We'll tell you all about that. And Joey Dorf and Nick Pobutsky for the Great American Lobster Fest, they are waiting in the PPG Paint screen room, and they'll be on with us after the news. And you have a chance to win some lobster, unless you're Jasmine.
That's the only person exempt.
Well, darn.
Sorry, Jess.
You gotta
Jess.
At least try it for reals, not
I'll
for
try
an
it.
Accident.
I'll try it.
But you only get a tiny little piece, because if you don't like it, we've
right.
wasted it.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's coming up. Stay tuned.
That's
for
why
your
there's
chance.
Butter sauce next to you. I couldn't figure out why there was a tray of butter sauce. Now it all makes sense.
Next to me? Oh, I carry it with me all the time.
Oh, do you always have some on you?
And I have lemon in my pocket, too.
Good. Very good.
And I'm happy to see you.
Oh, everyone wins.
Scoodoobadop. Scoodoobabop.
This is a song that uses that word better than any other song I've ever heard, Wendy. Would you agree?
I would agree. We are going to talk lobster. The Great American Lobster Fest returns to Navy Pier. It is the Midwest's largest seafood and lobster festival. General admission to the event is free. Otherwise, lobster meals and VIP experience are ticketed. And we have a pair of lobster meal experiences to give away.
Oh, nice.
So in the studio with us right now, a couple of guys, lobster should be their middle name. Joey Dorf is the co-founder of Butterclaw Lobster Company. Joey, how are you?
Ahoy, doing well.
I like it. He's got a captain's hat
yes.
on, and we get the ahoy.
Yes.
I'm in business.
And Nick Pobutsky, representative for the Great American Lobster Fest. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us.
All right, lobster. Have you met anyone who doesn't like it? I know there are people that have allergies to it, and I am so sorry to hear that.
You know, we do get people who call in or inquire and say, is there something else besides lobster? Because someone in the family may not love it, or some of the kids, or somebody might be allergic, but this is a festival true and true. So there's all sorts of land food options as well.
Right.
But yeah, we have met a few, small handful that don't like lobster, but usually the people that are coming out to this love lobster. They love the East Coast. They love seafood.
Mm.
And they love being on the end of Navy Pier for Labor Day weekend.
Mm. What do you say to people who say, oh, but lobster's only for rich people? What do you say to that?
Well, the price points for this festival will literally be something for everyone.
Yeah.
It's free to attend. But you can get some seafood entrees, I would say, typically between the $12 and $28 range for all of our seafood options. We have about 13 different lobster options alone.
Oh.
So there is a range for everyone. And then if you don't want to come out and eat, come out for the drinks. Come out for the music. Come out for the activities.
Pardon my ignorance, but you think of lobster and you just want to eat lobster. I don't know that I've ever even thought about 13 different recipes of lobster.
Well, that's what really mixes it up and makes the fest interesting and taken to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Joey with Butterclaw Lobster Co., Riva, Tandoor Char House taking a stab at doing some seafood and shrimp items. Also, fried shrimp, barbecue shrimp from Base Hit Barbecue. Really, it's the diversity and range you can do with the seafood. Joey's got a couple of amazing dishes here, things you might not think about, lobster sliders and also lobster nachos.
Joey, talk to us. Lobster nachos?
Lobster nachos. They are...
lobster meat, obviously. Chips.
Yeah, lobster meat, but we use Merck's cheddar cheese. So it's a nice... if you know anything about Merck's, it's a delicious choice
tangy
for cheese.
And
We do garlic butter over the top, Norwegian sea salt, scallions, tomatoes, jalapenos, all over a bed of white corn tortilla chips.
Now, I'm going to say something and you're going to get mad at me. Is that a waste of lobster or is that an enhancement of a nacho plate?
Absolutely an enhancement.
Gotcha.
This was actually the first festival we did the lobster nachos at the Milwaukee one. And
Huge hit. I would imagine.
Big time.
You know, I never used to see this when I was younger, but now I'm seeing it more and more, and that's lobster mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, oh, no, the cheese will drown out the flavor of the lobster, but it doesn't. They complement each other really nicely, don't they?
They do. We do a really good one, too. We put sriracha mayo drizzled over the top of it.
A little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really good. And all the lobster we have coming in our rolls, our nachos and everything, it's all chilled and chopped right over the top. So the contrast of cold and hot is also another thing that adds to the experience.
Where does the lobster come from? And I've had various different lobsters. I know there's warm water lobsters and cold water lobsters. There, I guess, is a tiny... If you're a lobster connoisseur, you can taste the difference. But to me, it's just all good.
Yeah, this is all cold water lobster brought in from the East Coast. We are in soft shell season, so you can crack it right with your hands.
Yeah.
A lobster, you can crack with your hands.
Yeah, now when you get a lobster meal at the festival, we actually pre-crack it for you.
Nice.
It's like the last thing you get as you redeem your entree.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yes, you can crack it with your hands.
So you don't need... One time in my life, I had a full lobster. Usually you get the tail.
Sure.
I had so much fun, but dinner lasted like 4 hours. I felt like an otter. I wanted to lay on my back and crack it, but it's fun to me.
Right. The tail meat is fantastic, but also the claw and knuckle meat.
Yeah.
And this is all coming from Lobster Graham. Lobster Graham is
Dan
our official
Nowicki,
seafood
I've
provider.
Dealt, yes, I love Lobster
from
Graham.
From the East Coast.
Great man.
I live in Evanston, and every year around May or June, I set my lobster traps in Lake Michigan, and I keep coming up empty. What am I doing wrong?
We got to find you a new body of water.
Right. That's what it is. I spent a lot of time in Maine and New Hampshire in the summer, and to go out and see the lobster traps everywhere is amazing to me. There's a lot of people lobster fishing, but the price point is still a little bit high. How come? Is it that hard to catch? Why is the price point so high normally?
It's not
hard to say.
You got to catch it. You got to fly it in fresh. I mean,
a lot of it has to do with demand as well.
Yeah. Is that it? Yeah.
Especially overseas, the Asian markets are driving the price
up
pretty good.
You know what's funny, though? Even though the price could be higher, it's the one food that as I'm buying it, I go, no, it's worth it.
It is worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not like you eat lobster every day. It's
right.
a specialty.
Right.
So what we find is that people coming to Lobster Fest or any of our events that we have going on, they're knowing that lobster is a certain price. They want it. They're
right.
ready for it. And,
right.
you know, there's no sticker shock really to
right.
them because
they're
right.
prepared.
They know they're...
Here's my big lobster debate. If you get a lobster roll, should there or shouldn't there be celery on the lobster roll?
So we do not put any celery whatsoever.
I love you.
On our roll.
You're the best.
No celery. No
Good.
Need for extra filler. Very light mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it with a lot of butter.
Yeah.
And also the bread. The roll that you use is a big part of it.
Definitely.
All right. Joey Dorf, co-founder of Butterclaw Lobster Company. Were you a fisherman? How'd you get into the lobster business?
Actually, I used to be a director of operations for a different lobster company. And I, I've just always been in restaurants. So that's where I landed and the port I shipped into. So
lobster.
But we have some delicious stuff for here. For you as well.
What did you bring in?
We got lobster sliders here, and we got our nachos as well.
So a lobster slider, my guess, is similar to a sandwich like a White Castle, right? But with lobster meat instead of, obviously, beef. Yeah,
definitely. We're using Hawaiian rolls, so it has a nice sweet bread to it. We toast it a little bit. We put all the condiments of the lobster roll in it, shredded lettuce, tarragon mayo, garlic butter, Norwegian sea salt and scallions, and of course our knuckle and claw lobster meat.
And no celery.
No celery.
That's the way it should
my
be.
Friend.
That's how it should be. That's how it is in the Bible.
Nick Pavutsky and Joey Dorf are here, and we're talking about the Great American Lobster Fest, which returns to Navy Pier this weekend. So starting what day? The 30th?
Yeah, we kick it off tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow already.
Gates
okay.
open in about, 25 hours.
That explains it. We can see the line from here.
We actually have our full production team is on Navy Pier right now setting up.
Ready to make it happen.
They started set up yesterday. We'll be doing it all through tonight. Gates open tomorrow at noon, and we'll go through Sunday at 10 o'clock. And I love Labor Day weekend because Sunday is like a free Saturday night.
Yeah.
If you do happen to come out Saturday night, the weather looks fantastic, and it's also the last fireworks show of the season on Navy Pier.
Good timing.
And you have music. You can go to, do you have a website here?
Yeah,
AmericanLobsterFest.com.
AmericanLobsterFest.com has all the details, but music throughout the weekend, 12 or 13 different bands, all types of genres of music. R&B, Motown, classic rock, yacht rock, beach vibes, and also country music.
What is beach vibes?
You know, like we have
like
South of Disorder is one of my favorite bands that's a Jimmy Buffett tribute.
Oh, okay.
We have Aniba Hotep and the Soul Collective. If you haven't seen this show, it's going to happen Saturday evening. They are absolutely fantastic. Rico, a Santana tribute, closes
Saturday
night.
Oh, I've
seen them.
Yeah, they're good.
And there's so much more to
offer.
There's
blues that's out there as well.
The Smiley Tillman Band.
Great.
He will kick it off, I believe, tomorrow evening, and he puts on a show.
Yeah, I can imagine. Can you guys taste lobster and know the area that it's come from? Can you tell if it's Pacific or Atlantic lobster just by taking a bite?
You know, I can't. Another lobster
Joey, are you able
might
to?
Be able to.
I'm not there yet, my friend.
No, but there are people who can, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
What's the key to that? What are they tasting or not tasting in a lobster where they can identify the region? Hard to say.
Yeah,
they're professionals.
I can tell you, my
they
friend.
Just know.
Yeah.
Do you have any internships available? Because Bill might want to intern for
that. Of course.
Come this week. I'll put you to work.
Butterclaw Lobster Company. All right. And tell us about, you were gracious enough to give us a pair of lobster meal experience to give away. Tell us what a lobster meal experience consists of.
So basically you have the main course option. You can do a pound and a quarter boiled lobster, or you can do a jumbo lobster roll. And then the sides are potatoes, corn, dinner roll, melted butter, lemon. And you can redeem that at the festival. And then we also have some reserved seating areas. That's the lobster meal experience.
And you I believe indoor bathrooms.
Indoor restrooms as well.
I'm sorry, right. But that is it.
That's a big part of it. It's a price point right
but,
there.
But also indoor, the grand ballroom of Navy Pier, if there's any type of inclement weather conditions, that ballroom alone can hold 7,000 people.
Yeah.
So we have an indoor-outdoor contingency. We also have VIP packages that allows two more reserved areas, one outdoor, one indoor, for prime seating, side stage viewing, your own bars, and also four drink tickets and sampling each day. Seafood sampling comes with the lobster meal.
What's a good drink that goes along with a lobster? Like a Mai Tai, maybe?
You know, I love an old-fashioned.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
White wine goes great with seafood.
An Allagash beer.
Mm-hmm. Allagash beer.
Maine-based beer.
A Peroni.
Yeah, Peroni works.
Peroni would be fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Joey Dorf, co-founder of Butterclaw Lobster Company. Nick Pabutsky, representative for the Great American Lobster Fest. What annual is this? How many years have you been doing
this? I can't believe this is the sixth one.
Wow.
Sixth annual. And we are now in three Midwest cities, hopefully in four or five Midwest cities by next year.
And one thing that's changed from other years is outside vendors, right? You were explaining this earlier. Tell this.
Well, we have a lot of talent in the city.
Yeah.
Butterclaw, for example. Riva, which is a seafood restaurant right on Navy Pier.
Yeah.
This is the first time we're allowing outside seafood professionals to come in and curate their own seafood dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have our same traditional offerings. You mentioned macaroni and cheese, lobster rolls, lobster boils. But we really wanted to let some chefs shine through and take the experience to a different level, different tastes, different thoughts. And five or six, seven now chefs are now all adding their dishes to the traditional festival.
Good.
So it really has enhanced it. We noticed a big uptick in excitement in Milwaukee 2 weeks ago.
I also want to mention your shirt, Nick, because you're combining two of my all-time favorite things in the world. You have a shirt on that says The Lobfather, and it's the logo of The Godfather, but with a lobster. Those are two of my favorite things.
The Lobfather. I'm one of the Lobfather members.
Can you purchase Captain's Hat at the Great American Lobster Fest, and is this mine that whoever gave this to me?
That is yours. Come on over to our tent, and we may have something for you.
Yeah, we do sell. We sell all sorts of hats, sweatshirts, T-shirts, tanks, all Lobster Fest gear, official merchandise at the fest.
Oh, that's excellent. Wendy, you can pretend you're Thurston Howell now.
Okay, lovey.
That's perfect.
Go to AmericanLobsterFest.com. Joey Dorf, co-founder of Butterclaw Lobster Company, and Nick Pabutsky, representative for the Great American Lobster Fest, 6th annual, Navy Pier, starts tomorrow. And what number caller do we want to give away the pair of lobster meal experiences?
That's going to be caller 8, Wendy. Caller 8, 312-981-7200.
Thank you so very much.
And, thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Long live the lobster.
Ahoy.
Although, thanks, actually, God. Not.
No,
I don't
we
want
don't.
It to stay alive because
no,
I want
to
eat it.
Right.
Thank you so much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we're looking for caller 8, 312-981-7200. And thanks to Joey and Nick, you'll be walking away with a pair of tickets for a lobster meal experience. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I know you go out east once a year. And
yes.
You have lobster pretty much every day.
For lunch and dinner for the whole trip, yes.
You really don't get sick of
it. Not even a little bit. Can't have enough.
We got caller number 8 at 312-5, what is the number? 981-7200. And that would be John from Munster. John, I sure hope you like lobster.
I love lobster.
Well, this couldn't have worked out better.
It's my favorite country western song, too. You know, first I lobster, then I flounder.
Yes. An old favorite,
yeah.
Sure.
All right,
yeah,
well,
it's a toe tapper.
You have a pair of tickets. It's a lobster meal experience. You get to choose either a whole lobster, or you get a lobster roll, and then you'll get corn, potato, butter, dinner roll, and of course that lemon wedge. I would even ask for an extra lemon wedge if I was you. Who are you going to bring?
An extra, for sure.
Who are we bringing?
Have you decided who you're bringing with, your plus one, or are you just going to do...
Yeah, I'm going to bring my daughter. She's a lobster lover.
Oh, perfect.
Who isn't?
Perfect.
Congratulations. It's going on all weekend long. It starts tomorrow, and it runs through Sunday, September 1st. The weather is supposed to be absolutely beautiful this weekend in the 70s. A little cooler at the lakefront, so bring a sweater of some sort, John, and have a great time.
Well, thank you very much.
You need to hang on so we can get all your information, okay? Don't hang up.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, John. A text says, what do you suggest for lobster virgins, which are two words you rarely see together, but we can address that. Start out with a lobster roll. When you get a whole lobster, as Wendy pointed out, there is some work to be done to get the meat out, but if you have a lobster roll, it's served up right there on a bun for you. There's no work at all. Just open your mouth and put it in.
That is great advice.
I guess there is some work. I guess that does take some muscle. So
I would start out with a lobster tail. Because that mild way to start.
Yeah.
It's an unusual consistency. And I honestly, if I would like to know, remember when Steve Cochran was talking about the first person to do stuff?
Right.
Who decided to look at the ugly lobster and go, I think I'm going
to
eat that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because that person, I need to write a thank you note to.
Right.
Every year on New Year's Eve, we stay home and we make steak and lobster tails. And I've done it several ways. I've boiled it. I've grilled it. I like a good boiled lobster tail, but you can overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
It goes so quickly. I have done lobstergram in the past. I think it's 1-800-LIVE-LOB. That's what I remember
from
years ago.
Yeah.
But I could never pull the trigger to do a live lobster. I don't want to have to deal with that.
We did one year in Maine. We stayed next to people where the man was a lobster fisherman, and he said, how many do you need? I'll bring them for you. And he gave us 5 of them. And there's a lot of guilt involved, you know?
I know.
When they start out live crawling around on the kitchen floor, and then all of a sudden they're your meal, a little bit of guilt involved. So have somebody do it for you if you're weak.
Well, this,
like we are.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
If I was a farmer, and we'll be talking to a former farmer, or still a farmer, Orion Samuelson will be on with us, I would be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
Can I ask Jasmine if she's been able to try? Jazz, you said your experience with lobster had not been great up until now. Did you try some yet today or not yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? But you got to admit, it looks really good, doesn't it?
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to have to try it. There are some lobster nachos that you can nosh on. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
I'm going to add it to my vernacular.
And the sliders look, they're basically like lobster rolls, only about half the size or a third of the size. So an easy eat.
Sixth annual Great American Lobster Fest, Midwest's largest seafood and lobster festival. It's at Navy Pier, kicks off tomorrow. Music, there are land food options if you're not into, that sounds very weird to say.
Right.
But if you're not into lobster, there's bevvies, there are family-friendly games and activities, and craft shopping.
Oh.
What more could you ask for? Congratulations to John from Munster. And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Thank you, Steve. Still left, it's Wendy Snyder. Orion Samuelson makes a return visit to the show. Today is the last day for the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. And Orion is on again to talk about that. Hi, Orion. How's it going?
Well, it's going very well. I tell you, we have had the most ideal weather for the past 3 days that you can have for a Farm Progress Show, because I've experienced frost and mud and a lot of other things. But here it's been sunshine. Little windy, but temperatures have been very comfortable. Yesterday, an unbelievably large crowd here at the show. Typically, today, which is the last day of the show, crowds a little smaller because we're wrapping up. But today is a good day to go to the show because a lot of the exhibitors who maybe don't want to take some of the exhibits home with them, like tractors and combines, will offer some real deals for farmers. And so that's why a lot of them come to the show on this final day. But I have to tell you, I've been coming to this show since 1961, and I had something happen yesterday that I've never had happen before.
Oh.
What is it?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Well, we're on stage with the Secretary of Agriculture.
Sonny Perdue?
Sonny Perdue was there. And Max and I were interviewing him to use on our television show and on the radio show. And as we're doing the interview and talking to him, his cell phone rings.
Uh-huh.
And he pulls it out of his shirt pocket, and he looks at it, and he said, uh-oh, I guess I better answer this one. Turned out President Trump was calling him at the Farm Progress Show to just say thank you to farmers for putting up with what they've had to put up with in weather and markets and trade wars and everything else.
Wow.
So the president joined us for about 10 minutes to talk to the crowd here at the Farm Progress Show. I've never been interrupted in an interview before by the president of the United States.
I'm not trying to top your story, Orion, but I was at Jewel yesterday and Steve Dale called me.
You really?
Yeah.
Gave you advice on how to take care of your dog?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And you mentioned the weather and you mentioned the president and we mentioned farmers. You just don't know what the weather's going to bring. This weekend is going to be absolutely perfect. And I'm looking and hearing you talk about tractors, combines. Could you please once and for all just explain to me what a combine is?
Combine is what harvests the soybean crop and the corn crop. It's an amazing machine. Because as it moves down the corn field, it is taking in the stalks with the ears still on the stalks. It takes them into the combine, and the machinery inside pulls the cob off the stalk and then pulls the kernels off the cob. So what you have coming out of the back end of the combine going back on the field is the material that you don't need. Some people use it for livestock bedding and things like that. But going into the cart that's driving alongside the combine, you have shelled corn. In other words, a machine that used to have to do all of this by hand takes it in one end, and in a minute it's coming out the other end with the cob gone, the stalks gone, and shelled corn going into the bin. Amazing technology.
So it's combining technologies. That's the combine
part, right?
Yeah? All right.
That's the combine part.
Orion, if Wendy uses your name, will she get a deal on a combine? She wants one very badly.
Yeah, I know. I can probably, let me see. I think average price would be $500,000.
Oh, when to get a couple of them.
I think we could work a deal out. She'd have to come up with some kind of a thing sure. that they would like, but she could do that, I'm sure.
All right.
Orion, I love talking to you because half of me thinks it would have been really cool to have been brought up on a farm. I know it's a lot of hard work, but you just have the history of everything. What was the first machinery that was invented? Was it a tractor? What was the first farm machinery that was invented?
Well, it started with the horse. We had a team of horses on our farm, and they did everything. They pulled the hay mower, and they pulled the corn binder, and they pulled the grain. They did everything. But then tractors came into the scene back in the 20s, 1920s, I should say.
Yeah.
And steam engines started it all, and then came tractors. And today we have tractors with cabs that will show you what the weather is all over the world.
Wow.
That will show you how much corn is coming off that combine cutter. It will show you everything. You almost have to have a degree to be able to manipulate and deal with all of the technology in the combine cab. But you also have a cup holder for coffee or maybe late in the day beer, you know, who knows. But it's not unusual now if we get into weather situations with bad weather moving in. Farmers will work all night in the field because you've got the lights and you've got the equipment. And it sometimes becomes about a 20-hour day when you're worried about weather coming in. And, of course, this year has been the most unusual
yeah.
year from a planting season that any farmer I have talked to can remember. We just haven't seen a year like this. And harvest is going to go late. Normally, farmers like to have the combine put away and parked in by Thanksgiving. I think they'll be lucky to get it parked by Christmas this year,
wow.
and maybe even into the new year. So,
hey Orion, it's Ryan. You were there. How was President Trump received? Because there's been a lot of talk about the tariffs, a lot of talk about ethanol, and some of his policies. How is he received at something like this?
Well, I didn't hear any boos. I did hear some applause, but because the case he makes, of course, with China is that they have been playing by the wrong rules for a long time, and that in many instances, unless you're a soybean farmer, has hurt. But and so he strives that we've got to get a level playing field in the trade picture with China. But, yeah, there is a lot of concern about what tariffs and I say that the president and the president of China and the United States are kind of playing the old game. My dad is bigger and tougher than your dad, and so we just keep going back and forth on these tariffs. And obviously, as many farmers have said, yeah, we appreciate the financial help that we've gotten from the Department of Agriculture, but we don't want that. We want to sell our products in the world market and that's how we want to earn our income. And I think they're very serious about that. So I would say that he was accepted. He only had about 10 minutes that he was actually on the PA system. And he made his points, as he's made them before, why he's doing what he's doing. So I would say it was okay. It wasn't like it was at Farm Fest in Minnesota a month ago when he did get boos from some of the wheat farmers up there.
That's Orion Samuelson live from the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois. Today is the last day. Orion, always fun to talk to you. Please keep an eye on Max for us, please.
right now he's out of my sight, but yeah, and frankly, yesterday Air Orion flew back to Huntley, Illinois. Probably one of the roughest rides that I've had in 2 years. It was rougher than Chicago streets. It was really windy up there, and so today I think we're going to have a smoother flight back.
Well, it's sure beautiful weather, and it's the last day of the Farm Progress Show, and you can go to farmprogressshow.com to find out more information. Orion, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Well, thank you for letting me share from the world headquarters of agricultural products. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
That's Orion Samuelson. That's who that is. A quick break and then a quick return to Sex Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell Orion to hang on. He can listen to this.
All right.
Will that make you nervous?
Yes.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
I love Salt and Peppa.
Yep.
I love them.
Who do you love more, Salt or Peppa? Be honest.
Peppa.
Peppa, me too. She's great.
Great pig, too.
For years and years and years,
Peppa
Wendy.
Peppa Pig. Very popular. Our kids are too old to get into that.
Mine are a little old, too.
Oh. For years, right here on this station, right here on the Big 720, Kathy and Judy had a segment called Sex Thursdays. It was so popular that other stations would just shut down during the segment. They wouldn't even broadcast because they said, no one's going to listen to us when they've got Sex Thursdays over on 720 WGN. So that worked for years and years and years. When Kathy and Judy were no longer part of the station, they took Sex Thursdays with them. As,
where do
as
they do it now?
In a garage. They do it in a garage in Danville, Illinois.
Oh, in Danville.
People come out and they love it.
All right.
So I, every once in a while, see a story and I say, boy, if Sex Thursdays was still going on, this would fit in perfectly. And today is one of those days, so I didn't ask the permission of Kathy and Judy, although I legally I should.
Bertrand gave you special compensation.
He did.
And he worked with them for
Yeah. So
Sex
that's the
Thursdays.
Closest, right. Yep. Yep. So here's the story. Tell me what you make of this.
I'm already embarrassed. I'm blushing.
I am too. I'm not even going to say it out loud because it's too suggestive.
You make me nervous sometimes.
Well, let's throw out for anybody listening, for our younger or more sensitive listeners.
I got to go.
Turn your radio down. You don't have to. Are you leave?
I'm more sensitive.
Are you more sensitive? Turn your radio down. Don't
not
turn
off,
it off. Just turn it down so that nothing that is said during the segment offends you.
All right.
All right. Do you know who Joel Schumacher is?
Yeah, I know the name.
He's a director. I think most people would know him. He directed some of the Batman movies. St. Elmo's Fire was a Joel Schumacher production.
Good movie.
He's been a director in Hollywood for many, many decades. He says, Joel Schumacher says... Now, again, if you're younger or more sensitive, or older and more sensitive, just turn your radio down a little bit. Joel Schumacher says that he has had sex with 20,000 partners.
Where's Wilt Chamberlain on this list? Because that's the first person
it's so funny you say that, because Wilt Chamberlain, the number that Wilt Chamberlain threw out years ago, was also 20,000. So what is it about that number? Like, if you have it that often... Is the magic number 20,000? Is that the goal of people who have sex that often?
I think over 12, you can't keep track anymore. I mean, how would you keep track of all these people? Is there a giant, like, Yellow Pages phone book somewhere?
That would be one a day for 55 years.
Well...
All right, well, that could happen.
One a day, every day.
Not for me. I'm too tired. But there are, I mean, think about it. For someone who's playing the field... Or the court. But,
yeah, the court or making movies. You wouldn't have time to make movies or play basketball.
Once a day, how long do you think it takes?
Well, I don't know. Ryan, did you work that out on a calculator, or did you just come up with that number on your own?
I did. I found a calculator app on my phone.
Because I remember when Wilt Chamberlain made this announcement, and everybody's like, yeah, Wilt Chamberlain, good for you. People did the math on that, and they figured out that if he started at the age of, what's a fair age to say, 16, 17?
Yeah.
And then went every day for the rest of his life. At some point, it would have averaged like 3.5 a day.
Well, doing the math here, when the Wilt Chamberlain story came out at mentalfloss.com, if Wilt started at the age of 15,
okay.
From then up to the age of 55 when the book was published, he would have had 40 years to sleep with 20,000 women or 500 different women a year.
So that's one and a half a day.
1.4.
Yeah. Every day. You can't even take a day off. You can't call in sick.
Not if you want to meet the record.
Right. If you're serious about the record, you have to devote all your time and energy to it.
Well, that's what Cal Ripken did, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
But why in Different God's time. Name did Joel Schumacher not say 2001?
Right. You should have topped Wilt Chamberlain's number. Because then I think people would have called him out on it. And
said, but now we're okay.
Right.
Was he married?
Joel Schumacher? I don't know that he's ever been married. That's a great question, Mary.
He probably
I don't know.
Won't be anymore.
Well, yeah, because if you were married to somebody just a year or something, you would think that would be the only
right.
person, but obviously
right.
not.
Remember during the AIDS epidemic when they said that if you've slept with people, you've slept with everyone that those people have slept
yeah.
with? Now do the math.
I'm not.
That's a crazy number. I was also thinking, when I saw that 20,000, there are towns in Illinois that don't have 20,000 people in them. There are towns all over the country that don't have 20,000.
Where did he meet all these
people? This was pre-Tinder or Grindr or whatever it is you do.
Yeah, how could you arrange for that to happen that often? I mean, there's going to be nights where you get turned down probably, right? Even if you are an NBA star or a movie director, there's going to be nights that you strike out that nobody's interested, you would think. Nobody bats 1,000.
Well, what if you hire a professional?
Oh.
Don't say that to me like I am some kind of master of this, because I'm ashamed of myself for even coming up with an answer.
I think it's true, right? Because you've got a guy who goes over and talks to the people.
Somebody's arranging it for you a little
exactly.
bit. If you're going to go into the numbers like that, though, wouldn't you want one of those punch cards like you get at car washes?
He had a different kind of punch card.
I guess he did. Yes, he did. Director Joel Schumacher wasn't just making movies, the story says. The man behind such films as Batman Forever and St. Elmo's Fire told Vulture.com that he's had sex with up to 20,000 partners. Now, that would indicate different people, right? Wouldn't that indicate different on every...
Yeah? Not 20,000 times.
Right.
630 has said you're forgetting, you're not counting Hollywood orgies, because that might have added a few more per day.
I always forget about the Hollywood orgies.
So do I.
Whenever I do math problems, I always forget about those. The article's author, Andrew Goldman, remarks...
Is jealous.
Is jealous, right. That's assumed, isn't it? That he's just a tad jealous. Remarked that that should be his pen name on the story, Tad Jealous. He remarked that the figure, which Schumacher put at somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000, it'd be hard to have an exact headcount on that, wouldn't it? Is really amazing, he said. To which Schumacher responded, it's not for a gay male because it is available. Now, he has said in the past that he's bisexual. That's why you're hearing the word partners, obviously. I've had sex with famous people, he said. I've had sex with married people. And they go to the grave, he said. It's weird.
He's just releasing this stuff now. Yeah. Why do we care? I mean, why is he doing this? Does he have a movie coming out? Does this help the movie? Why do we need to know this information?
It doesn't say he's pushing. The only thing he's pushing is 80, actually. He's 80 years old.
So is he just trying to make himself feel better?
He's bragging. I guess he's bragging.
Be all braggadocio.
I've never kissed and told about anybody who gives me the favor of sharing a bed. Well, that's nice.
Is it?
Yeah. He's a warm-hearted Wendy, if you give him a chance. But don't give him anything else, just a chance.
I wonder how many beds we're talking about.
Oh,
think about that.
What's his sleep number?
I know.
20,000. We just figured that out. The Phantom of the Opera filmmaker said that when the AIDS epidemic broke out in the 80s, he was surprised to test negative, and he took measures to protect himself, but there are risks. He said, I used condoms, but condoms broke, and there was a lot of drug taking and a lot going on back then. It was a way to deal with the loss, I think, of so many people that I loved. Interesting. Troubled former NBA star Lamar Odom recently said that he had sex with 2,000 women, but appeared to use the number as more of a cautionary tale to discuss his downward spiral after drug abuse and infidelity.
Poor Khloe Kardashian.
Yes.
Well, I mean, she
but how
loved
about this?
Him.
2,000 doesn't even get attention. I never even heard about Lamar Odom saying that he slept with 2,000 women. You have to have 20,000 to even get a mention.
Well, get to work.
No.
No wonder he got a bronze for Team USA. 2004, 2000.
Right. All right. Let's take a break.
Lamar Odom, isn't he going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Does he have time?
Yeah, he's on it.
Is he on? Is he one of the new cast members?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a good dancer? Has it started yet?
Yes.
No, he hasn't started yet.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then Dean Richards joins us. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
He might talk about pizzas on the grill.
He may.
That's better than porn.
I agree with you. Joel Schumacher.
And just as messy.
Oh, boy.
If you do it right.
If you do it right.
Right? You know what I mean, exactly. Wendy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sex Thursdays continue.
Yeah, it's continuing. Dean Richards is our guest. Dean, the other day, this was so frustrating. We always keep you on Channel 9 here in the studio, but because we were doing the show, I didn't get a chance to hear you. But I know you were talking about all the new announcements that were made at the D23 Festival. This is Disney's big convention where they announce what's coming. Do you remember any of the highlights? Because I didn't get to hear you do any
of it. Yeah, big fan fest. Well, I may not remember the dates, but they released new footage of the new Star Wars movie that's coming out in December.
Yeah. The Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Rey is badass.
Oh, my gosh. I must have watched it 30 times.
Really?
When it came out. And
yeah.
when we first were watching it here in the office, I scared people around me.
Because why?
Because I was shouting. I was reacting to what I was seeing. And, you know, I think they thought I was having a stroke, you know, at my age.
Yeah.
You know, I am in those years. The very exciting what they showed. They talked about some new Star Wars things that are going to be on the Disney online platform that will take on Netflix head on. They talked about some new Marvel projects that are going to be coming out, one of which, the Eternals, will include Kit Harington, who we know from Game of Thrones. What else was there? Yeah, there were you know, half a dozen announcements of huge Disney projects. Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
They announced it's going to be out in May of 2022.
Wow.
So they're working on
planning way ahead
on some stuff. If only that Disney kid company could get things together.
Right, they'd be all right.
I'd predict a good future for them if they would just, you know, focus a little bit.
I saw the same trailer you're referring to for The Rise of Skywalker, and there's it's only for a second or two, but a very a prominent scene where you see Carrie Fisher. And did you see the story that J.J. Abrams told about her over the weekend?
No.
Very peculiar story. Dean, I don't want to leave anything out, but you know most of it, I'm guessing. He had said that Carrie Fisher wrote something about the Times, plural, that they worked together. This was prior to her death, of course, when in reality he had only worked with her once, but now kind of worked with her a second time in using this footage of her in the movie.
Well, what I had read was that J.J. Abrams had said that this next Star Wars movie, that Carrie Fisher is the heart of this next Star Wars movie, which is kind of interesting because the footage that they're using in this is footage that they had previously shot prior to her death.
For a different movie, right?
For one
of the other Star Wars movies.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so, but he feels like it, you know, is going to play prominently or else is just, you know, using brilliant marketing here.
Yeah.
And, you know, letting people think that, you know, Carrie Fisher is going to be predominant in this movie. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. Nobody has seen the movie yet.
They also said that they're revamping Epcot. Disney did.
I brushed over. They said that they're going to be doing some transformations of some of the Disney parks, which I guess I haven't been in years. So, you know, I guess they're in need of some renovation from what people are saying. I'm all in favor of redoing something in Epcot because I know some people love it.
Yeah, you don't
I think it's the most boring of all the parks.
Well, how about this? You know that part where it's all the different countries kind of in a half circle? They're adding Elk Grove Village to that. Isn't that cool?
That's going to push it over the
top. That's going to be big.
Now, see, if they wanted to tie in Black Panther 2, they should include Wakanda.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That makes seems like a natural sense.
You know, come on. Like I said, Disney, focus.
Right. Now, there's also been some news over at Saturday Night Live. They announced a cast change, but not the one that people were expecting.
No, everybody thought that Kate McKinnon was going to be leaving because her contract expired last May. The other day, they announced that she will return for their, I think it's 45th season that will begin in a couple of weeks. But Leslie Jones, who's been on the show for 5 years, a little bit more than that if you count the time that she was just a writer, she's leaving the show. And that she is going to be, she's already been in a bunch of movies, but will be in even more movies, other television projects. She wants to do a stand-up comedy special for Netflix. Here's one that is interesting that she says that she wants to do.
What's
is
that?
Bring back the old game show, Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, do you remember that show, Wendy?
Yeah.
So she'll host Supermarket Sweep.
She will host Supermarket Sweep the way Alec Baldwin is hosting Match Game, I guess, now.
Yeah.
And Anthony Anderson is To Tell the Truth, where they bring back pretty big stars to be the hosts of these primetime game shows that are coming back.
How about that?
Is this her choice to leave? Or
yeah.
I'm shocked.
I am, too.
Yeah, she decided that she can do, you know, the road is cluttered with Saturday Night Live stars who were great on SNL that thought, yeah, I can be even bigger if I go to the movies, and then we don't hear from them ever again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's going to happen to Leslie Jones, but it's a crapshoot when you get out there, you know. Not everybody can be Eddie Murphy.
Dean, several people,
who, by the way, is going to be back.
He's
going to be hosting in December, his first time hosting the show since he left it in 1984.
Wow. Several people have asked me this, and I don't know the answer. Maybe you do know the answer. In the early days of Saturday Night Live, the cast members all made roughly the same amount of money. You made more if you were a cast member and a writer, but other than that, everybody kind of made the same. But now I know they make different amounts, so the question is the difference in something like what Kate McKinnon makes and one of the lesser-known cast members, is it a huge difference or just kind of a small difference?
I think it's I think there's some pretty big money that gets spread, you know, and how it spreads apart is, you know, depends on the person's value to the show.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know the current cast and their salaries, but I do remember that when Will Ferrell was still on the show, and he, you know, he was the it guy on that show, that his salary was significantly higher than almost everybody else who was on the show at that time. I mean, like almost $100,000 more than everybody else, which, you know, I think is a lot of money.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Dean Richards is here. He'll tell us about what movies are opening this week. That's coming up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill and I would like to invite you to join us on WGN Extra at noon. We'll be there from noon to one. You can hear us talking about what's hot and what's cold. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Dean Richards is our guest. Dean, this time of year is usually kind of a rough period for movies. The summer blockbusters have kind of dissipated, and the serious movies, the serious Oscar contenders, haven't started quite yet. This is usually kind of a dry spell, isn't it?
It is very much so. The Oscar contenders are beginning to roll out already. The Venice Film Festival in Venice, Italy, started yesterday. And they had the world premiere of the film called Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Robert De Niro. It's the story of Joker from the Batman. It's not a Batman movie. It doesn't seem like. It seems like it's a prequel, I guess you might say, that focuses specifically about how the Joker got to be the Joker, how he became who he was.
Yeah.
Fascinating backstory, I'm sure.
I would think.
So creepy.
Yeah.
I didn't think anybody could be a creepier Joker than Heath Ledger.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He was so good. Joaquin Phoenix, in this trailer at least anyway, looks amazing.
Yeah.
The storyline looks amazing. Robert De Niro plays a TV talk show host. It looks like kind of like a Johnny Carson-like host, who makes fun of this failed stand-up comedian, the Joker, before he becomes the Joker. And apparently, I guess he goes off on a revenge rampage, from what I could understand from the trailer. But we're going to begin seeing trailers. We're going to begin seeing little tidbits of some amazing movies. This Renee Zellweger movie, where she plays
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland.
Yeah.
I'm hearing is very good.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen it. I've only seen a trailer that you know, can be very deceiving, but I'm looking forward to that.
Do you remember years ago Judy Davis played her in a made-for-TV movie? She was really good.
She was great. She won all kinds of Emmy Awards for that. I'm very curious to see what Renee Zellweger is going to do. They just released an album yesterday of Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland doing duets with lots of contemporary singers.
Oh, wow.
Which sounds so interesting to me.
Yeah.
So, I could see her as Judy Garland for some reason.
Too.
I'm anxious to see it. The first chance that I'll get to see some of these movies is at the Toronto Film Festival, which starts in a couple of weeks here in North America. It's probably North America's biggest film festival.
Dean, do you know who's playing a young Liza Minnelli in that movie?
I don't.
Beanie Feldstein.
Really?
Yep.
I like Beanie Feldstein.
Is she really? Okay. Why do I believe either of you? I'm telling you, I fall for it all the time because I could see that too.
I could kind of see that. She's, that doesn't exactly have the body structure
of Liza?
Of Liza Minnelli. Yeah. But I don't know how they're reinterpreting it. Turns out Bill just wanted to say the words Beanie Feldstein.
I enjoy saying Beanie Feldstein.
He's going to say it every time you're on the air with us now. I guarantee that's it's a
goal.
Drinking game now.
Yeah, that's my goal.
Blame it. Beanie Feldstein.
All right. What's going on with Brittany? I'm sorry, Dean. Did you have more to say about this film festival?
I have nothing else to say about it except that we'll soon have
real movies.
Real movies to talk about. There actually is one really, really good movie this week and one really, really awful movie this week. And the really, really good one is called Brittany Runs a Marathon. It's about a hard-drinking, hard-eating 20-something, goes to the doctor, is told that she is not in the best of health, that she needs to lose like 50 pounds, and she begrudgingly starts to try to work out. She begrudgingly tries to run. And, like a lot of people who start exercise regimes, you can't stand it, and then suddenly you crave it. And that's what happens with Brittany in this movie, played by Jillian Bell, who you probably know best from Workaholics, but she's been in a whole variety of movies and television shows. She is so good in this movie. Number one, it's a very funny rom-com. Number two, it's a very thoughtful movie about not only the physical transformation that a person who is overweight goes through, mm-hmm. and the difficulty about all of that, but the internal struggle that a person who is overweight and the story of their self-perception, how they view themselves inside. That's what this movie, I think, is most successful at achieving. It's funny. It's thoughtful. It's very well performed. I was so surprised. This is a real sleeper, another one of these cute little movies that came out of nowhere the past few weeks. Brittany Runs a Marathon gets a Dean's List A.
Oh, very nice.
And really, this is an Amazon original?
This is an Amazon movie that will be in theaters this weekend, yes.
Wow, that sounds enlightening, yeah. I have to tell you.
It's a really, really nice movie.
The only person, Wendy, you might recognize in the cast, the only person I recognize is Michaela Watkins, who was on Saturday Night Live for a couple seasons. They didn't use her much, but she was a cast member for a couple of years.
Not a lot of familiar faces in this movie.
No. And then the other movie that's coming out, Dean, is The Fanatic.
John Travolta, what's happened? What has happened,
this
John Travolta?
This is going to be a bad review. I know it.
So great in Saturday Night Fever. So great in Grease.
Pulp Fiction.
I like
The Boy
Michael.
In the Plastic Bubble.
Oh, that was my favorite.
Yep. The Plastic Bubble.
Yep.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
You know who was great in that movie?
Beanie Feldstein was
exactly
great in that
correct.
Movie.
Grow up, the two of you.
Exactly right.
She won a People's Choice Award for that.
She was great in that movie.
Yep.
And a Soul Train Music Award, oddly enough. Yeah.
And the Cy Young Award. No one saw that coming.
It's an odd one. John Travolta has been in such good movies, and he really is quite a good actor. He has the knack for picking remarkably terrible movies. And I'm afraid this movie, his new one called The Fanatic, is one of these bad movies in which he plays an obsessed fan of the movies in general. He's a movie savant,
mm-hmm.
But he is a super fan of one actor in particular, knows every fact about him, tries to meet him at any public event where he possibly can, learns his home address, goes to his house and is kicked out and goes to his house again. And this is one of these fans that just does not know when to quit. He is a fanatic, as the movie title will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cartoonish performance. It's a story that feels like it could have gone the way of Misery, if you remember, or very much like King of Comedy.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing where somebody is really obsessed with another person, but you understand why. You get some depth. You get more than just the outward appearances. In this movie, you get only the outward appearances of Travolta's, the way he dresses, the way he acts, and the way he talks. But you have no idea from where any of this is coming. And it felt empty and shallow. It's poorly constructed. Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit directs this movie.
Really?
And I think in the hands of a more experienced director, it might have turned out better, because the storytelling itself is kind of scattered and all over the place. I like John Travolta very, very much personally. And I'm sorry to tell you that this is one that I am definitely not recommending. I gave it a Dean's List D minus.
Ah.
I can't wait to see the sequel, as Bill Stock's Beanie Feldstein, Fanatic 2, will be coming out soon.
I love my beanie is the working title right now.
Thank you so much, Dean.
Thanks,
Have
Dean.
A great
Bye.
Weekend.
See you guys.
That's Dean Richards. That's who that is. We'll close things off in a little bit and turn the reins over to Steve with the Wintrust Business Lunch next.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.